time in 2025. Join us March 2nd through 4th and discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin. None. Hovde also lied about Baldwin, quote, giving our money to a transgender clinic. That's been found false 3 different times. The Journal Sentinel says the truth is Baldwin supported mental health funding for a homeless youth shelter. That's right. Hovde's attacking a place for homeless kids. We all know what Eric Hovde is doing. He's trying to scare you. But they are all lies. Wisconsin is better than this. We're not going to let some billionaire California banker lie his way into the United States Senate.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel continues strikes in Lebanon targeting Hezbollah. At the same time, talks continuing between both sides on a possible ceasefire deal. ABC's Britt Clinett is in Tel Aviv.
I think we have to, exercise some optimistic caution when it comes to these talks. Certainly, there is reports of a potential, progression in the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hezbollah. But, a stop to the fighting in the north, it's certainly doesn't feel imminent.
Presidential candidates in the battleground states in the Southwest today. Former President Trump campaigning in New Mexico and Nevada. Vice President Kamala Harris is also campaigning in Nevada and making a stop in Arizona. North Korea fired an intercontinental ballistic missile today, the country's longest test mission yet, raising concern it's building up its arsenal after sending troops to train in Russia and possibly help in the battle against Ukraine. This is ABC News. In Texas, on the Department of Public Safety's website, people can report school threats anonymously. Officials believe the increase in potentially threats that have been reported are the result of greater awareness.
Across the state, the 63 reports of school threats and suspicious activity in September of 2022 more than tripled in September of this year, leaving students on edge.
I feel like it's kind of hard, like being on guard a lot of the time.
I contribute a lot of it to the awareness.
Texas Department of Public Safety Sergeant Stephen Woodard says more people are using the agency's website and app to report school threats.
It just makes our heart glad.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
For the first time ever in the U.S., a pig has been infected with bird flu. That case confirmed in Oregon. Officials stress that the risk remains low to people. Some unusual temperatures for trick-or-treaters in the Northeast this Halloween. New York City and Boston could hit 80 degrees tonight. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, sounds like wipers. If your wipers are streaking, skipping, chattering, or even worse, loud, you need to visit AutoZone and get some fresh new blades. We've got basic wipers to get you back on the road, as well as premium blades from Bosch and Rain-X. So if you're hearing this, just head to your nearest AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. Happy Halloween. It was dueling political rallies in Wisconsin yesterday. Donald Trump addressed a crowd in Green Bay. Earlier, he spoke at a crowd in North Carolina.
This Tuesday, you have to stand up and you have to tell Kamala that you've had enough, that you're not going to take it anymore. Kamala, you're fired. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here, Kamala. Get the hell out of here.
VP Harris was at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, where she promised to bring people together.
I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to the challenges you face. I am not looking to score political points. I am looking to make progress.
Both candidates will be back in Wisconsin later this week. Meanwhile, the latest Marquette Law School poll before Election Day shows Harris's lead over Trump has shortened in the state. Poll director Charles Franklin says it does remain close.
50 for Harris, 49 for Trump. This is for likely voters. This is a little bit tighter than we were a month ago at the end of September when it was a 4-point Harris lead. It should not surprise anyone if Donald Trump wins, and it should not surprise anyone if Kamala Harris wins.
Harris's lead is within the 4.4% margin of error at the U.S. Senate race, and Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is in a 2-point race with Republican challenger Eric Hovde, 51 to 49%. It could be a winter coat night for trick-or-treaters across most of Wisconsin. Forecasters say temperatures will be anywhere between the 50s to the 30s by the time kids are out for trick-or-treating this evening. Strong winds will make it feel much cooler. Be careful and watch out for those kids while you're out driving this evening. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Rain turns into a wintry mix this afternoon as a few snowflakes start to mix in. This as winds are crashing our temperatures, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, creating a wind chill. We can also hear some thunder, and we will clear out and crash cold overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Soybean oil and soybeans were higher, but meal, corn, and wheat were lower. The cattle complex was mostly lower, and the lean hog futures were mixed. Cotton was lower, milk lower, yeah. Kind of a defensive day in the ag markets. We'll find out how long that might last and what will be driving price action.
Live with the front porch light locked securely in the off position via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Steve Georgie from Allendale. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I, handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, hey, baby. Thank you so much. So, the porch light is locked off.
Yeah.
I don't think that makes you a... I don't think that makes you a good neighbor on a night like tonight.
Not really, no. But again, more candy for me. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Okay,
it's tough
I get
here
it.
In the city, bro. Yeah, it's
I
tough.
Get it. Yep, yep. I can just see it. Mrs. Handsome Newsman this evening will be going. Where's all the kids? Why aren't the kids stopping and going trick or treat? Well, honey, I don't know.
Yeah, and why are there so many mini wrappers behind the couch? What happened?
Did the dog get into those? What's going on?
Yeah, baby, it was the dog.
Yeah, that's it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Happy Halloween. Yeah, kind of a defensive day in the grain markets today. We're going to talk about that with Steve Georgie. From Allendale. Got a couple of other things that I want to talk with Steve about. A general impression on what's going on with this economy right now. That's one of the things I want to cover with Steve. We've got the jobs number tomorrow morning. We need to get ready for that, or should I say you need to get ready for that. And
yes, I do.
Interest rates today were lower. You know, they've been trending higher since the Fed cut rates,
right?
But today we did see some pressure on interest rates. I wonder what his thoughts are there. Okay. What else? What else you got? It's cold.
I have
man.
No thoughts
45
on that.
Degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, we're 55 and sunny here in KC. We got a pretty decent round of showers. Once again, I think parts north of us probably got more of the severe stuff and more heavy rain than we did, but there's more expected through the weekend here.
Yeah, yep. We've got rain popping into the forecast for next week up here in northeast Iowa, too. All right, let's get to the markets.
Sure thing. Well, front month soft red winter wheat futures ended the day near the midpoint of this week's trading range, with the market establishing trading between 560 and 580. Export sales of wheat in the weekend at October 24 totaled more than 411,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Mexico topped the list of buyers. Also included the Philippines, Indonesia, Japan, and Ecuador. Prices were pressured by rain in the U.S. Central and Southern Plains, and by the forecast calling for more rain in winter wheat areas. Selling was limited by estimates of declining export supplies from Russia. December HRW wheat futures 6.5 cents lower at 569.25. December SRW wheat down 2.75 cents to 570.5. December spring wheat that closed at 604.25. That's down 4.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, I wish... I know that we have to continue to cover the supply situation out of the Black Sea, but I wish we got like a number twice a year.
Oh,
because it seems like the number is up, it's down, it's all around, and it just leaves us confused on what that supply situation is there.
Well, export sales of corn in the weekend at October 24 totaled at 2.34 million metric tons. In line with trade expectations, but were strong enough to help support corn prices. Mexico topped the list of buyers, with Japan, Colombia, and Panama also on the list of buyers. The recent surge in corn export demand is building support at 410 in December corn futures. The contract spiked that support in early trade before recovering to post a mid-range close. December corn has traded in 5.5 cent trading range. This week, 5.5 cent trading range. December corn futures 0.75 cents lower today at 410.75. March corn up 0.5 cents to 426. July corn futures closed at 439.75, up 1.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, and the market is making it prove that support there at 410. It should strengthen it as time goes on here.
Export sales of soybeans totaled 2.27 million metric tons, in line with trade expectations. China topped the list of buyers that included unknown destinations, Mexico, the Netherlands, and Italy. Bean meal sales totaled 208,000 metric tons, with bean oil sales at just over 10,000 tons. USDA this morning also announced the sale of 150,000 metric tons of U.S. soybean meal for delivery to unknown destinations. That's for the current marketing year. December meal traded below $300 for the first time since August 14. Bean oil futures traded sharply higher and posted the highest close since July 12. Jeez. January bean futures opened steady, rallied to within a penny of $10, and then slipped back to post a mid-range close. Jan beans 3.25 higher, 994.5. March beans up 4, 1009.5. July beans closed at 1038.75, up 5.75 cents, Chip.
December soybean meal today down $2.10 a ton to $299.50. December bean oil up 133 points to 45.14.
Well, Chip, export sales of cotton weekend at October 24, just over 189,000 metric tons, 47% ahead of the four-week average pace. December cotton today was 35 points lower, 69.57. Looks like we've got Oliver Slope, Chip.
All right, let's get him in here. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Doing real fine. What is the deal with corn this week? A 5.5 cent trading range? What's going on?
Oh, man, it's like watching paint dry. I tell you what,
yeah.
We're just stuck right here near 410, 412, which happens to be pretty darn close to the 50% retracement, or basically the middle of the range from the recent trading range, $4 to 424. I think we can continue to carve out a little bit higher lows, but I don't know that it's going to be running away anytime soon. So that I wish I had something more exciting to talk about, just a really dull market. But we'll see what a new month brings.
All right, very good, very good. What are you thinking in cattle here? I think most traders are kind of thinking that this cash market's going to set back a bit from last week.
That's the idea. Today we obviously saw a continuation of some lower trade. It had a decent close. I think a lot of, you know, what we've been concerned about is just the fund positioning and the length, the largest net long position since last October, where if you do get any outside market headlines, that could potentially lead to a rush for the exit doors, which are pretty narrow in the livestock markets. And I think that we've seen that, you know, again, here this week. I don't know that it's going to be a replica of what we saw last fall. I think the fundamentals are still relatively strong, and I think the market, you know, should find some decent support down here. Lean hogs is probably the more interesting one. That has just been on an absolute tear. The fund positioning there, just a stone's throw away from record net long. The thing that I find really interesting about the lean hogs is not only, you know, are funds aggressively long and the market overbought, but volatility looking at the CME CVOL index is basically at 10-year lows. So from a trader's perspective, I like looking at the long puts as protection for guys or for a speculative position as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Good stuff. You watching the team that's playing UCLA or the team that's playing Texas Tech this weekend?
I got to watch the UCLA game. We got to be bowl eligible this week.
Good stuff. Oliver, good luck. Good luck. We'll talk to you later. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. We got Steve Georgi, Allendale next.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
It's harvest time across the region, and that means long hours for you and the machines you depend on. It also means a heavier load of dust, dirt, and contaminants for those machines. That's why you should protect them with Donaldson filters. Donaldson offers a full line of air, fuel, lube, and hydraulic filters, engineered to deliver superior performance and protection for your equipment. No wonder so many OEMs worldwide specify Donaldson filters. After all, Donaldson literally invented the tractor air filter. Ask for Donaldson filters at your local parts supplier today.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Welcome to the soothing sounds of Cropland Seed. It's the kind of sound you only get with broad access to high-performing genetics and traits and years of data from extensive testing. Also, retailers can recommend what will work best in your fields. Take some stress out of your season. Talk to your local retail seed expert about Cropland Seed today.
Want to get smarter and have
farmers? Now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It is Thursday afternoon already. My gosh. We're going to get to the conversation with Steve Georgi from Allendale here in just a moment. But first, Davis, let's go ahead and finish up that market news.
You betcha. Just real quick, beef export sales nearly 14,000 metric tons. Boxed beef futures lower again this morning. Traders expect lower cash cattle trade, down slightly from last week. December live cattle today down 12.5 cents, 186.30. November feeder futures 12.5 cents lower at 245.37.5. And lean hog futures were mixed, but export sales were strong at nearly 45,000 metric tons. Dees hogs 57.5 lower at 83.80. Chip?
Yeah, and like Oliver said, these hogs have been on quite the tear here recently. I think, yeah, if I remember correctly, yes. Dees lean hogs did spike up and post a new contract high before setting back. It opened on session highs and closed very close to session lows. Kind of narrow trade in that lean hog contract, but nonetheless, session high open, session low close. Might turn the momentum around in that market here for a little bit. All right, let's bring him in here. Steve Georgie, President, Allendale. How are you, Steve? It's good to talk to you.
Hey, guys. How's it going today? Happy Halloween to you guys.
Yo, man, that's awesome. How's my costume look, Steve? What do you think?
Doing great, buddy. Doing really well. I'm similar. It's awesome.
David started this conversation at the start of the show. So is it a porch light on or off kind of night for you guys?
It's interesting. We've got a really long driveway that you got to walk down, and nobody likes to venture down there. So I would love for somebody to come by, but we're not going to get too many, but that's okay. Yeah. We'll have candy anyway. Come on over. So
that's just what a weirdo would say that lives in a house on Haunted Hill way up the long driveway,
right?
Dude.
Hey. We have the big candy bars. Come on in, right? We're not scary.
That's tempting.
This is on air. We can't say this.
we've got it in a bowl just sitting out front. Come by, help yourself. Yeah,
it could be that easy, but it's not.
It's not. Good grief! All right, man. How you been? Everything okay?
We're good, right? We'd love to see some more volatility in these markets, much like you guys are talking about, and love to see some kind of life. What's going to change? How are we going to see it, right? Is this election going to do anything?
Yeah.
So it's one of these things right now where, you know, it's been good, but it's once again, prices are depressed. We all know that, and it's what is going to spark something, and you know, we'll see. We'll see what that spark is, but I hope we find it soon.
Okay. Well, you know, what I'm thinking is that maybe the markets have just kind of put things on pause between now and the election. And I don't know. Should I be saying between now and the election or now and the election results, Steve?
Right. You know, that right there is probably the most important. I think it will be the election results. But something that's interesting that just happened after 1:30, the energy markets close, right? And all of a sudden, crude oil goes crazy. So this may have an impact on maybe some overnight markets. A headline comes out, Iran is preparing major retaliatory strikes from the bombing in Iraq. So is it enough? Are this headline stuff, is it enough to get a market excited? I don't know, but I think that election probably has a little bit bigger impact on what these markets may do or kind of set themselves up for coming into a new year.
Yeah, Dees WTI and after hours up $1.96, 70.57. Yeah. It's almost like soybean oil knew that kind of a move was going to happen today, Steve. What a crazy move.
You know, I honestly, all day I'm like, man, just so we all understand, bean oil is not this cool. Like, what are we doing? You know, and boy, it was just going, and you know, but maybe it did know it. I don't know, but that chart looks really good now too, closing near its highs. You know, so bean oil may know something, but that may put a little life in these beans yet too, and maybe we do that overnight. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So here I am. I'm looking back at Davis's news.
Yeah.
Soybean meal traded below $300 for the first time since August 14. Yeah. Bean oil futures traded sharply higher and posted the highest close since July 12. What? We've, you know, I mean, here it is, talk about going in opposite directions.
But it is the end of a month, right? Goofy stuff happens. Okay. Not only that, throw in Halloween, right? So when you get that, are we cleaning up some spreads, right? Are we cleaning up some spreads here at the end of the month where, you know, guys may have been short that oil, maybe long meal, and now they're getting out? I don't know, right? But it's one of those things. It sure seemed like it today because you're not kidding. You had a bearish close for meal. Usually you don't want to follow a bean oil rally for beans. Right. You know, it's short-lived, but a bean meal rally or sell-off has more weight to the soybean complex. So it's one of those things where it could just be that it was just a goofy day because it is the end of the month, right? So we'll need to see if that continues tomorrow. That is something that could end up being something that we need to watch for soybeans.
Right. Right, yeah, we need to get a little more information before we decide it's noise or
it was weird though. You weren't kidding. Matters.
Yeah,
bean oil is not that cool. Come on.
Yeah, I love that line.
It was today, man.
It was today.
It was today.
Okay, what is your take on the general state of the markets, the economy, the you know, just kind of throw everything in and summarize it here at the end of a month.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where markets have been real heavy and we know it, right? They're not fun. We're below break evens. You know, it's not cool to talk about right now, but it's one of those things too. What do we have? Well, we've got a record crop out there for corn. We got a record crop out there for beans, right? So we know that we're trying to find a home for all this stuff. And I think the American farmer's doing a great job finding a home for that as we finish up with harvest, you know, so then what, right? So what do we look at? Is there hope to see some kind of a rally? Because we know February is going to be really tough if you got to sit down with a banker and we're below these break evens right now. A lot of guys holding on to cash grain. And, you know, you look at what the carry's doing in the market and where that's at currently, it's really tough to get excited about, oh, let's go make cash sales. The one thing I think that we can look toward, though, Chip, is that when you look at how depressed these markets have been, it's hard to make a bearish market more bearish. And I feel like we're doing that. All we need is some kind of a spark to maybe find a different direction. I think I don't know what's going to do that yet, but I feel like we're getting close to something. But when you look at that from a cash perspective, basis levels, now that we're almost done with harvest, typically improve. Usually around December 10th for corn is typically your best basis. So it's something that I feel like any kind of rallies probably ought to be sold.
Yeah.
But not only that, look for that basis improvement as you get into that early part of December and make some sales because of the amount of grain that we have on hand.
Okay. We've been moving a really nice sales pace on corn here recently. Of course, every time I say that to somebody in an email or whatever, they always come right back with, yeah, the importers are just front running the elections because they don't want to have to deal with the U.S. markets after the elections regardless of a Harris or a Trump win. Some truth to that?
I mean, I think there's a lot of weight to that, right? But can we just sit in the moment for a second? I mean, it is. We're selling a good amount. It is our time to shine, though, right? We should be selling right now. We should be making these cash sales, and we are, and it feels really good. You know, but we're not getting the rally that we're seeing, right? We're not. Usually you get that demand, and all of a sudden market starts to firm up a little because what it is. Well, because we're not, it further fuels more sales. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a little bit with that. You know, the election coming up, whether or not, you know, we get whichever side gets in as far as the presidency, you do have some front running ahead of that. I get it.
Yep.
I do get that. But that doesn't take away the amount that we're doing as well. Right.
Right.
We're corn.
Right.
We're selling corn. We lose that price advantage, though, for soybeans as we move into November. So we got to be careful. Token business from China. Sure, we're getting it. It feels okay. You know, between 100 to 200,000 tons, sure, it feels good. But we start losing that price advantage to Brazil as we get into November. So can we stay consistent with these sales? We're going to need to see if we do. But I think some of that is front running.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, this corn market, you make a good point. It's almost like the corn market doesn't want to do anything to draw attention to itself right now.
Don't look over here.
Yeah, don't look over here. Don't let's not ruin this good thing that we got going.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
You know, it will be. It'll be interesting to see what they do with carryout numbers moving forward, since we've had such strong demand.
Yeah. Yep. You know what? We'll talk about that a little bit more because at the end of next week, we're going to be getting another supply and demand report, another crop production report. So we'll talk about that a little bit with Steve Georgi, President, Allendale, Inc., next on AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most, our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 6.5 cents lower at 5.69¼. December SRW wheat down 2¾ cents to 5.70½. December corn futures 0.75 cents lower at 4.10¾. March corn up 0.5 cent to 4.26. January soybean futures 3¼ cents higher at 9.94½. March beans up 4 cents to 10.09½. December cotton today 35 points lower, 69.57. On your livestock's December fat cattle were down 12.5 cents to 186.30. Novi feeder futures 12.5 cents lower, 245.37½. And December lean hogs 57.5 cents lower at 83.80. Get more market news every market day. Visit TryProFarmer.com.
What's the
rugged outside, comfort inside? Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
At Security Financial Bank, we understand what it takes to grow what matters. We know success doesn't happen overnight. It takes honest work day in and day out. We value trust, leadership, and service. We are SFB, bankers who believe in your business, your family, your future. Bankers who believe in you. Learn more at sfbank.com. Member FDIC.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Rain turns into a wintry mix this afternoon as a few snowflakes start to mix in. This as winds are crashing our temperatures, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, creating a wind chill. We can also hear some thunder, and we will clear out and crash cold overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. Explore alex.com. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, glad you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Steve Georgi, president from Allendale Inc. Steve, I'm trying to get a better handle on what is going on with some of the interest rate trade out here and what it might mean, what the signals are, because we get the cut by the Fed in the Fed funds rate, and real interest rates have been going up ever since. Now, today, they got a bit of news that the interest rates weren't too happy with, and we saw a setback in rates today. What's yeah. going on?
You know, it's a head scratcher, right? It is one of those yeah. things where I'm trying to figure it out myself. When you look at, like you said, what the Fed is doing, sure, they went ahead and made those cuts, but you got to be careful, right? When the Fed starts cutting, you got to kind of start asking why. It's a mechanism for the Fed in order to control maybe something they foresee coming. So maybe the economy is not doing great, but then you look at the stock market sitting 42,000, 43,000 for the Dow, S&P, very strong, near all-time highs. I mean, you get conflicting stories, right? So when you start looking at these interest rates and you're like, okay, now what? Is the Fed going to continue to cut? Are they going to have to? You see some of these other economies around the world that cut, and they're continuing to cut. Are we going to get forced to do that? You know, I don't know. I feel like they may know something that we don't. I'm not as bullish the economy. And I do feel that there is some kind of a reckoning probably coming at some point. I don't know when. But because it just does not make sense. There's a lot of things that are back and forth that I don't know. And I don't think a new president's going to solve that. You know, I don't feel like either one that gets in is going to end up having some kind of a great solution for something, right? And, you know, I think the Fed right now is trying to control something, but they don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure, but it doesn't resonate with me either.
Okay, so the equities trade, like you said, it's been very strong, strong.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing that the markets are factoring in a Trump victory. I think that's probably right, but I don't know if it's because of tax policies or if it's because the markets are anticipating a business environment with fewer rules and regulations.
I feel like there's two parts to that, right?
Okay.
Kind of what you're saying is that when you look at the business community and you look at businesses, stocks, more the financial community, yes. I feel like less regulations because we know that the last 4 years regulations have been rampant, right? And it has been tough on businesses. I don't care if it's our industry, whose industry, you know, it has been tough on regulations. But when you look at, you know, what that could do, and I think you're right, less regulation might mean more better business, whatever the market may want to take that. But I think the ag sector, though, if they're going to play in a Trump rally, this is why I feel like some of the markets have been depressed, and including corn and beans, is because of the idea of potentially putting tariffs back on, right?
Right.
Which would be bearish first. We saw that in 2018, right? Bearish first, and then you get into their phase one deals and whatever else, if it even works. I don't know. But the market is almost kind of feeling that tug. You know, if Trump does get in, we're going to now start talking this. So it is kind of negative toward the ag markets, if that is the case, whereas I feel like financially, to the financial markets, that relief or breath of fresh air that you know, you've taken this noose off your neck and you can actually breathe, well, that may be what's propping up more of the financial markets.
Okay.
So kind of twofold.
Point well taken on the ag markets here too, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, I talked with someone this morning that I think helped me figure out a little bit of the anxiety that a lot of farmers are feeling right now. And it's the potential for tariffs under a Trump administration. But the last time that before he put the tariffs on last time, remember all the rhetoric? You guys are going to need bigger tractors. Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. There was a plan behind the mission. Correct. We haven't heard much on that plan.
No. And I think it's too soon for the plan, right? It's going to take a while. Trump was elected in 16. It took him to 18 in order to get it done, right? So there's going to be this time and this whatever else. We know it's not going to be immediate, but to your point, right? the markets are already, oh my gosh, we got to move and we're going to, you know, they're already jittery for that. And we're all, it's like we're doing it way too soon.
Yeah. Interesting.
But interesting. I get it. Okay. I get why they're jittery, right. But.
Yeah, anyway, I get why they're jittery too. Yeah, no doubt. What do you make of the structure of the markets? Corn, soybeans, carry in the market. What do you want to do with it?
You know, I'm glad that there's some carry in the market, right? Let's take corn, for instance. You got about 15 cents December to March. I don't think it's enough. You know, when you look at interest rates and where interest rates are at, right? Short-term loans sitting at 8, 9 times, it depends where you got it locked in at. You know, it's one of these things where, does it make sense? We need at least 5 cents in order to do that for carry. Full commercial carry closer to almost 7 cents. So when you look at that across the scales, it feels good. The structure that we do have carry in the market maybe is telling guys to store it. And you look to improve basis over the next, you know, 30 to 60 days and maybe lock in basis levels, or you look for rallies to sell cash against that. You know, okay. I think that there will be opportunities there. But it is one of those where, you know, yeah, it feels good. But as I mentioned, a spark, right? We need something to change the mentality. When we're underwater as much as we are, you know, and it's, there's nothing sexy about it. There's nothing like, hey, let's get a 15 cent rally. Okay. That helps. But I think that basis improvement, we're going to need to be watching that. There is still activity that you need to have. It's not just let's go sell March corn today. Let's take the carry in the market. That looks good. I think you have to be active with this market. Look at this basis improvement. Look at locking that in here probably by the middle of December. But you've got to look for rallies and strengths right now as opportunities to be making sales. I don't have anything cool to tell you why we need to be getting long a market right now. There's nothing. Nothing excites me. Take the rallies as opportunities to make sales.
We're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that. But one of the things that I've noticed here is I've talked to a few analysts that basically they won't admit to being bullish wheat, but they say that they want to be bullish wheat.
I knew you were going here. I knew you were going to the wheat. I got to tell you, I'm kind of in that, if there is something that can be, right?
Yeah.
When you look at that as global supplies and global stocks that are tightening. Right. We know here in our country, we got plenty of it. We just had a good crop. That's fine. But then good to excellent ratings coming out where they're at. Now, I'm going to say this. I'll be clear. There is zero correlation between how wheat goes into dormancy and final yields. Okay. So even though it might look bad now, might give a little bit of flavor or might help things out, but it's going to be what happens when we come out of dormancy and what's going on with wheat. But I feel like tightening global supply, tightening stocks there. We continue to have less acres. We continue to tighten up, but this 600 to 700 million carryout is still too much. If that gets down to below 600 and we're back at 500 and something carryout again, that wheat market can explode.
Yeah.
So I just think I think that there is something where we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. There's things that need to happen. On a global scale, right? We got to watch Argentina or watch Australia. What do they do? What's happening around the world? And then, yes, that could be something where the wheat market's been very depressed for a very long time. And there could be some excitement there. But those other things need to fall into place first.
Okay. Well, after beans, you know, you go back to the end of September and January beans are up around 1080. Here we are.
Yeah.
We just bounced off of 980. So we've taken a buck out of that market while basis held right in there and the spreads really didn't turn negative on us. I mean, is that enough? Is that enough to the downside?
I kind of feel like you know, when you look at where we ought to be, economic value, right? And we know, as we talked about before, with sales, right? We're getting good sales. We're getting decent sales right now, and that's all fine. But if you're going to take 550 million carryout, you start dropping that down to 450 million carryout. That suggests that, yes, this $10 level should be our baseline, and we should end up seeing a rally from here. But here's the thing, though, right? We've got to remember this. Just supply and demand, basic supply and demand. We have just harvested a record crop. right? We have a massive supply right now. Good thing we are making sales, but we have a massive supply. Now, this is coming on the back of what we just saw out of Brazil, right? South America, yeah. They had a record crop. So record on top of record right now. Yeah. Good thing sales are being made, but we're still looking. Who's going to have a problem? We're kind of hoping South America has a problem, right? You go have the problem, not us. But it's one of those things, something still needs to give because global supplies are still sitting at almost a record high. So just be careful with that. And I do feel like we should be seeing a bounce out of beans, but realistically, a sideways range right now until we get something. Once again, give us something in order to break out of this range.
Yep. Okay. So. I've only got 30 seconds left, actually 20 seconds left, but I'm going to ask you this. Do we get downticks in the national average corn yield next Friday?
You know what? I think we may have overplayed it. I think the dryness that came in the end of August, that middle to end of August, really is going to be something that may have had a bigger occurrence, maybe even on beans, maybe more so than corn. But I do feel like we've kind of overstated this crop right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see tightening a little bit.
Gotcha. Well, have fun tonight at the end of that long, dark lane, hopefully.
It's a scary driveway. Come on, free candy.
I love it.
Why not?
Love it. Steve, I love it when you're on the show, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Steve Georgie, President Allendale. Davis and I will be right back to wrap it up.
Retirement. The Dairy Farm families of AMPI are proud to share their award-winning butter and cheese with you. Find the Dinner Bell Creamery brand in your favorite store and bring home the taste of farm-fresh goodness. Farmer-owned and co-op crafted, our commitment runs deep to care for our land, animals, cooperative, and communities. The result is award-winning butter and cheese, where the heart of the Midwest shines through in every flavorful bite. Find us online at dinnerbellcreamery.coop or follow along on Facebook and Instagram. Dinner Bell Creamery, co-op crafted by farmers, made for families.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces, a new adventure, create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living. For my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Big Ag has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Congress done? Nothing. Derek Van Orden has gone Washington. He yells at workers, talks down to people, and acts like he's better than us. He's in Congress to serve himself, not Wisconsin. I'm running for Congress to serve you. I'll stand up to Democrats to fight for a secure border, support police, and stop the wasteful spending. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Chip Lorre is here as well. Chip, I don't want to pour salt into a wound here, all right?
Oh, boy. What are you doing to me?
Well, the Denver mini cyclones really didn't have much to offer the mighty, mighty Wolverines of Dyke New Hartford on the football field.
On the football field. That's right. Yeah, it was a tough year for Denver. What are you trying to get at here, Davis?
I'm looking at the 2A state volleyball bracket, which will be
who's in there at November 1?
Brought to you by Iowa Corn. You got those gals from Denver at number 1. DNH is clear down at number 4, baby.
Clear down. That is a very unusual spot for DNH. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Used to being the number 1 team in the state going into it. And DNH beat Denver earlier this year. So it's a battle. It's a battle in the state tournament. NICL conference here in the state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They might have half. The one conference might have half of the teams in the state tournament. It's unbelievable.
That could sound right. Yeah. Yep.
It is unbelievable. Yep. The quality of volleyball that they play here in this North Iowa Corn League. NICL.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The Corn League, is it? Are you sure?
Yeah. Or is it Cedar?
Some would argue it's Cedar, but, you know, sponsored by Iowa Corn? Sure, why not? It's the North Iowa Corn League. Yeah.
That's right.
Those corn-fed gals, they can play some volleyball.
Yep.
I'll tell you what.
Okay. Woo. Hey, as long as we're talking, that's right. As long as we're talking sports, I had a revelation between the shows.
I like
okay?
it.
Okay. You know, this morning when I was talking about the World Series game, I said, I don't know if I'm going to remember how much of a collapse it was that the Yankees had or if I'm going to remember the comeback of the Dodgers. I've decided that I'm going to remember this World Series for Freddie Freeman. The unbelievable series that guy had at first base for the Dodgers.
All right.
So I'm taking the high road. Although for us National League fans that kind of point at the Bronx as – you know, the Death Star, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yep.
The source of the dark force. Boy, I'm getting into areas that I have very little knowledge of when I start talking Star Wars stuff. The collapse of the Yankees will still probably make me grin just a little bit.
Well, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. High Road, no, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah. High Road, Freddie Freeman. Yes. Congratulations to the Dodgers.
Yep.
We'll see you next year. Kansas City's going to come roaring back, baby. I'm telling you.
They should. They should. It's not like they can't afford to pay people to stay on that team and make another run. Good grief.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting to hear Oliver say that he's going to be watching the team that is playing UCLA this weekend because they got to get bowl eligible. You know, it's been a while. It's been a while for Nebraska, so heads up out there, guys. Good luck. Good luck out there. I will be watching the team that is playing Texas Tech.
Yeah. If he comes, back to that team that plays Texas Tech, we'll know how it went in the
That's right.
Nebraska.
Yeah. You're right.
There will
you
be
are
signs.
Exactly right. Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Oliver, yeah, corn is like watching paint dry. We got that. Mm-hmm. Cash cattle might set back slightly here. Hogs nearing a record net long. That's interesting.
Well, and concerning all at the same time, isn't it? Once you get everybody loaded on one side of the canoe, what typically happens? You tip that thing over. And I wonder, I don't feel like today was a major failure in the lean hog trade. And we know how important the technicals are in this market. But, we're sitting here. We're looking at 84.65 for yesterday's high. We opened today at 84.65. So we opened right at yesterday's high and then failed posted a low range close, but it wasn't a downside reversal, and the gap higher that we posted on Tuesday in D's Hogs is still open. So that would put support at Monday's high of 80.82.5 in D's Hogs. Watch that number. Watch it close. Close the week above that. We're still good. Close the week below that. You might want to make sure that you got the puts in place because the technical selling could heavy up in that lean hog market.
Yeah. Steve Georgie from Allendale was our was our guest today. He's got some hopes for December corn basis. Watching about that mid month period there might get a bump in basis. What are your thoughts on that?
Couple of things. Number one, the export demand, the feed demand, the corn for ethanol demand is all good enough that it should support basis. Movement is, I think, going to stay relatively slow. Corn that had to move has moved.
Right.
So things That's slow important. Down there. Yep. If we can get an extra week, an extra 10 days out of movement on the river, I think that would be fantastic, and it probably would give us an opportunity to see that December 10, kind of a traditional time to get the basis peak going in that in corn. So I have no argument against that.
Very good.
All right, real quick, National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, November 6th through the 10th, above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt, below normal precipitation, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Northern Illinois, Northern Indiana, and points to the north of that. So, okay, I'm done for the week, dude. You got this?
Yeah, I got this.
All right.
I got this. Yeah.
All right.
We'll do the free-for-all tomorrow morning. Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yes, free-for-all tomorrow morning. Wiesmeyer will be around. Haney will be around. And then tomorrow afternoon, Michelle Rook will be in to keep the conversation going right here on AgriTalk.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most, our faith,
our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again,